We now go, brought to you by the Thomason Savings Bank, Mr. Joe Stango for a Saturday business brief.
Are they actually sponsoring this little discussion of ours?
Well, you're their man, and they're so loyal to us, I thought that I would just tag you with that.
Oh, I see. Okay. I didn't know. I mean, you know, you asked me last minute yesterday, and I said, absolutely, I'll be there. But I didn't realize that you were going to be plugging. I should have known, because you're the king of plugging.
Well, I mean, you are a last-minute specialist, let's face it.
Oh, gee, thanks. It's always something somebody likes to hear, a guest likes to hear.
All right, so what are you doing?
You're a last-minute substitute.
What are you doing? You're not a substitute. You're an honored guest. So what's your Saturday like today?
It's a quiet one, thankfully. It's dreary outside, and I plan on just staying in, doing a little work, sitting with my wife, my little pooch, and that's about it.
You know, when you get to your age, it's good to have a very relaxing day off.
Oh, that was low. that was low.
Me too, though.
But you know, as my wife keeps reminding me, doesn't matter how old I get, you'll always be older than me, so...
Very nice. Joe,
and you will be older than me.
Why don't you give the audience a little lesson? I know you work a grueling schedule. You're writing columns for the Republican American. You do the Biz Brief at 5 of 8 here every morning with Tom Shute. What are the benefits of kicking back and trying to reinvigorate yourself to come for Monday?
What are the benefits of kicking back? That's an excellent question. I need a psychotherapist for that one, but I would say probably just, you know, you need some downtime, because you're right. I mean, when we were younger, when you and I first started with ATR, you had the world ahead of you, and you were just so anxious to embrace it. Now, as you get older, you're anxious to embrace the downside. it's where I am right now.
Very,
it gives me an opportunity to focus on what I'm going to be doing next week.
Yeah, very nicely said. Well, before I ask you a couple of business questions, how long have you been doing the business brief, and how did Tom Shute recruit you way back when?
He actually didn't recruit me. I knew Tom since, let's see, I ran actually for the Senate in 1982, and I met him that year. We weren't best of buddies, but we knew each other. He was working for another station. And as we all know, I lost the election. But about 5 years later, I got a job with Shearson Lehman Brothers, and they had an office in Waterbury. That was my first Wall Street company. And I went to work in New York. I trained there, Tower 2 of the trade towers. And when I got back... Shearson Lehman Brothers had an agreement, I guess you could call it, with WATR. They did all of their stock reports. They actually had a microphone in the office so that on such and such a time, the microphone gets turned on. It's plugged right into ATR, and you did the stock report. But there was a cadre of advisors who did it. We were stockbrokers then, of course. And, we were financial consultants. We were just changing titles. But anyway, there were about four or five of us, and everybody decided they didn't want to do it anymore. They couldn't see it. You know, everybody's in business because they expect something out of it, which I get. But I just loved radio, and I said, you know what? Nobody else wants to do it. I'll do it. And so that's what I did. I started with just doing afternoon stock reports. And I went to Tom and I said, you know, I think there's really room for more, because at that time, CNBC was just somebody's dream. I mean, I don't even think it was a dream. Nobody even envisioned it. But, you know, eventually with cable, which we had in those days, you knew that the opportunity was there to start just a cable news network ostensibly a business news network. So I said, you know, there's a market for this. Why don't we try it? And so I began doing two or three spots a day, if I remember. And then I had the idea of doing a business report in the afternoon. I said, but I don't want to do it myself, because I was just so afraid, as you know, carrying a show for 3 hours. If nobody calls in, man, it's a drag, and you better know what the heck you're talking about.
Help!
So, So I said to him, he said, well, who do you want to duel with? I said, well, I don't know. How about this guy, Tom Hill? And that's how we all started.
Oh, my God. Talk about a... Can you even spell ostensibly?
O-S-T-E-N-S-I-B-L-Y.
Well, that's why you write for the Republican American. You got, what do you got coming up on your op-ed articles are very, very thoughtful. You have anything in the pipeline for this weekend or next weekend?
Well, actually, it gets published tomorrow. I wrote about gaslighting. You have any idea what gaslighting is?
Is that something that you take after you've had too many beans?
Yeah, no.
All right, we're going to hold that, Joe. We're going to let the audience. Let's let the audience think about that. We'll be right back with Joe Stango.
Tom Hill, 1320 WATR, Hill's Gallery.
And back to our honored guest, Financial Joe, Mr. Joe Stango, and talking about his column coming up tomorrow pertaining to gas something.
Gaslighting.
Thank you.
Gaslight is actually a term that came from, I know it's a weird term, but it's a very real issue, and people should be concerned about it, especially people like you who are old now.
I got it.
I got you, right? Get you. How old are you now, 80?
68.
What are you?
68.
Are you really? Yeah. No, seriously, it is something that you should be very, very concerned about. And it happens to all ages, but seniors tend to be susceptible, and people focus on seniors because everybody has this misleading thought that as you know, when you get old, you just forget everything, which isn't always true. But anyway, gaslighting comes from the name of the movie Gaslight, back in 1944. That starred Charles Boyer and Ingrid Bergman. And it was about a husband who wanted to take total control of his wife. And to be honest with you, I never saw the movie, so I'm not sure what his reasoning was. But he wanted her to think that she was going crazy so that she would rely on him for everything. And today what happens is I wrote about I can't tell you how I know the person, but anyway, he was in his early 70s. His mother was in her 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And she was in Florida. She wouldn't come back to Connecticut to live because he kept asking her to do that. He was a restaurant owner here, and he wanted to make sure she was taken care of. So his nephew, her grandson, moved in with her. And he was kind of happy about that, the son was, because he knew that his mother would be, would be safe. Well, time passed, and over a period of time, gaslighters worked very slowly, very meticulously. The nephew gained her trust and eventually had her sign over everything she owned to him.
Ew.
She signed over her power of attorney to him. He became the sole beneficiary in her will. And part of the problem was she owned joint commercial property with the son. Now, all of a sudden, the nephew was in control of it. And the nephew would not allow the son to see his mother, and only allowed every once in a while for the son to call the mother. And in doing so, he convinced his grandmother that he was the only one who cared about her, because nobody would call her, nobody would come and see her. And she had no clue. And now she was perfectly of sound mental health, but she had no clue. So he gained all of her trust and essentially shut the whole family out and took control of all of her assets. It was very devious. Now, this is a senior citizen, but Tom, it happens every single day with people of all ages.
And to the audience,
it's amazing.
And to the audience, Joe is a professional financial advisor, so he's going to see more of this than normal people might see. Correct, Joe?
Well, sad to say, you're right. As financial advisors, healthcare workers, we are all continually trained to spot, quote, abuse. But this is very difficult to spot because of the way the victim has been treated. She or he trusts the gaslighter implicitly. So, you know, what we are trained for is to hear those voices. You know, if a client calls me and says, Joe, I need $10,000, and there's somebody in the background telling them what to say, well, the flag goes up. But in this case, they don't need to be told what to say because they trust that person. They are sound mind. They know what they're doing. But they have been just sold a bill of goods right down the river, and it's just a terrible situation. Recently, I came across it with a young lady in Washington. She, and obviously a young woman, she knows what the hell she's doing. But this guy got into her life, who was a con man, essentially, and he said, and has convinced her that he is the only one who cares about her. She has locked out her family, all of her friends. She is completely isolated, willingly. And he has talked her out of so much money, it's ridiculous. It's terrible.
Well, this column absolutely will be in the Sunday Republican American tomorrow op-ed, and I always read Joe's columns and appreciate him very much. You can hear him here with Tom Shute at 5 of 8 every day, Monday through Friday. And Joe, you have 30 seconds to wrap up your excellent visit to Special Edition Saturday today.
Well, I would just tell you that if you have parents out there who live a distance and they're aging parents, here's a reason to call mom every day and find out what's going on in her life, dad too, and visit often, know who is in their lives, and know who you can trust and get a good feel for. Tip of the day.
Thank you so
Have
much,
a great
Joe
day,
Spiegel.
Tom.
Adios.